So, welcome back. It's good to be here, even in this small, cozy group. This week, as I mentioned earlier, we're going to be reading Parshat Noach, the chapter with the story of Noah. And I'm just going to review some of the salient points in the story. At the beginning, we read that the earth becomes corrupt, that there is a lot of lawlessness. And what's interesting, is that it's not just the human behavior, but that the earth itself becomes corrupt. And so God selects Noah and says to him, go and make an ark. And God provides the instructions. And God says, this is to destroy all flesh in which there's the breath of life. So take two of each kind of living thing onto the ark so that there will be a continuation of life or a new beginning of life in the future. And then as the story goes, that rained and rained and rained and rained, and all living things were destroyed. Noah sent out the raven first, who couldn't find a resting place, and later a dove who flew around but came back. And then a week later, the dove came back with an olive branch. And so the world was starting to repair itself, and plants were alive at least. It wasn't for, I believe, a half a year that the land was dry enough for the ark to actually rest. But finally, God told Noah to leave the ark, and he and all the animals and people did. And Noah immediately built an altar to God of thanksgiving. And God put a rainbow in the sky as a sign of the covenant, and said that I will no longer destroy the earth completely. And very quickly after that, Noah became drunk, and people started behaving badly again. And then there's a long genealogy, and then we hear of the story of the Tower of Babel, where people are trying to make a name for themselves and wanting to, tower over everything, building, as they said, a tower to the sky, to the heavens. And so God decides that this is not a good direction for humanity, and makes multiple languages so that people can't unify in the way of becoming one big destructive power. And then there's another long genealogy, and right towards the end of that genealogy, we read about Abram and Sarai, later to become Abraham and Sarah. And unlike anybody else that's mentioned in the genealogy, it says that Sarah was barren. And then it talks about their extended family. Terach, Abraham's father, moved the family to Haran, nearby, or maybe not so close, place of settlement, and there Terach died. He was 250 years old. So that's the end of the Parsha. And so there's some interesting stories, a lot of genealogy, and some well-known figures in biblical stories that we read of. Rabbi Aviva Richman from Hadar points out that the Parsha begins with the pain of chaos and loss, It's God's loss when the world is basically drowned and has to start again. And it's bookended by the pain and the loss of Abraham and Sarah's ability to, at that point, to have children. And they were quite young in this part of their life's journey. So we know that journey of infertility was quite a long one, and we could assume that it was painful along the way. The first loss, the flood, is on an epic scale. The survival story is included. And so we know that they came out of the ark and survived. While the end story about Abraham and Sarah is very, very terse. It's not even a whole verse, and it includes only the losses, and not the details. The survival and the ability to have a child comes only chapters later, decades later, in the course of time, with the birth of Isaac. Yael Shai, a Jewish educator and meditation teacher in New York, focuses on the flood and the survival story therein. Noah, or Noach in Hebrew, is named by his father, who not only sees the human corruption happening all around them in his generation, but he claims that the ground itself is cursed, assuming that this man, Noah's father, was sustained through agriculture. One can imagine the tremendous pain and sorrow in his claim. Poignantly, he names his newborn son Noah from the root Nun Vav Chet, Noch, we might say. Noah's name means ease or relief, like the verb lanuach, to rest. So Noah's father places his hope for respite, for release, in his son. We're not told the focus or the content of his hope. Is it that his son will provide an extra set of hands on the farm? Or does his father simply aspire to have his pain ameliorated through the joy of a baby? We don't know what this relief or respite that he states in the baby's name is about. It turns out, as Yael Shai says, that a big storm is brewing, and the relief that Noah will probably bring probably looks nothing the way his father imagined. Things will get a lot worse before they get better. And yet, Noah is the survival of creation itself. Survival begins with relief, this tells us. Out of the place of turmoil, ease is the savior. Those are Shai's words. She then asks, can we find relief in our own meditation? When our lives are in upheaval, meditation can be very challenging. We might experience great physical or emotional pain. Our minds are jumping all over the place. We aren't able to sit still, perhaps. Can we bring so much compassion to ourselves, so much ease into our practice, that the process of returning to our breath is not an excuse to run away from our experience or to criticize ourselves, but instead a gentle moment of softening, of relief, of Noah? As the waters pound and roar, can we stay still in the arcs of our bodies, finding temporary safety in that soft and silent place? For me, the idea that returning to the breath is a good thing, a transition to be embraced, is slightly new. and I welcome it. I don't need to be so hard on myself when returning to the breath. Rather than being a correction or something that I need to do to be better, a correction to my wandering mind's inevitable straying, returning to the breath is entering the arc of my body's inner retreat and renewal. This arc, temporary as it is a good place to be. It is a place of connecting with the inner Noach that can be a savior from chaos, loss, heavy rain, and so much more in life. So this teaching of Ya'el Shai connected for me with something that I've learned more about in the past year, which is the Japanese art of kintsugi. I don't know if you've heard of it, but kintsugi is a Japanese art where they take broken pottery and it's repaired with a glue that's then covered with gold, and it shines, and the newer vessel is not only more resilient and stronger, but it's incredibly beautiful to see these lines of light and the gold shining like veins, life-giving veins through the pottery itself. So when we view our lives as broken or even shattered, we begin to understand that no matter the trauma, despair, hurt, fear, abuse, failure, addiction, disease, or even death, our scars are just part of us. Each time we fix ourselves, this is the teaching from kintsugi, the new beginning makes us stronger. I'm not sure I like the word fix as much as transition ourselves. The new beginning makes us stronger. Our life bonds are reinforced through mending. Those breaks are a place for beauty to transpire. We are more beautiful for being broken. Returning to Shai's writing, she notes that after the flood, God admits or acknowledges that there is evil in the world. The imagination of a human's heart is evil from youth is a statement from God at that point. That there is no such thing as a perfect world without imperfection. And accepting this, God promises never to destroy the world or curse the earth again. God teaches us through acknowledging that even the dark parts of creation are part of the whole. So God teaches us to turn towards the dark spots of ourselves with compassion and acceptance. Can we do this with the inclusion, or perhaps through the inclusion of Noach, of ease and relief? Shai concludes, this is where we land on the other side of the storm, on the other side of the deep silence, on Noach, and hopefully our own practice. When rain stops falling, we open the doors to our lives and hearts and renew our covenant with our exiled selves, with life, with the divine, and then we can say, we are survivors, we are safe, we are home. So that is the teaching that I wanted to bring today, and I will open the floor to any thoughts, responses, questions.